All right, turn to Revelation chapter 1. And I'll tell you today, you are going to be blessed, absolutely blessed. And I'll tell you why in a moment. You'll see it. You'll see it. But Revelation is always, it's a challenge. And there's so many parts of it that you read dispensationally. Dispensationally, it's either for the future or some of the past. It's now. And so I want to pull some of the parts together for you that I feel like the Lord gave me on Tuesday evening of this week and or last week. And I still wanted to bring it Wednesday night, but I couldn't bring it Wednesday because I wanted you all to have it. So make sure if you have your Bibles, turn in Revelation chapter 1. Now, some people call it the book of Revelations. It's not Revelations. It's not more than one revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, there's only one revelation. It's all brought into one revelation and given to the angel to be given to John. One revelation. And Jesus is totally revealed in this. And it gets a little creepy in some places. But I'm just saying, we read it, let him open it up to us, and take what you can and stand on the word of God and believe that he's coming back. Amen? Just be ready. Just be ready. Okay, I'm going to read to you, and it's going to take me about 2 or 3 minutes to read some portions in chapter 1. I want to start at verse 1 and go through verse 3. Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he said and sanctified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all the things he saw. Now, here's why I can guarantee that you're going to be blessed today. Look, blessed, somebody say blessed, is he who does what? Reads. So we're all reading this together. And also, not just those that read it, but also those who hear the words of this prophecy. And do what? Keep these things that are written in it, for the time is near. All right. Let's look at verse 8. Now, Jesus speaks here in his Aramaic language, and then he quickly translates it and tells us what it means. He says, I am, by the way, I am Alpha and Omega, he says to John. And then he translates, that means the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is, I love this part, who is, that's him talking about himself. I love it when Jesus talks about himself. Let me read it again. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come. The Almighty. Verse 10. And John says, well, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying to me, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice. He didn't just say I turned to hear it. I turned to see it because it was so amazing. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool and as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That was the word of God. Isn't it quick and sharp and powerful than a two-edged sword? So when he spoke, John says what came out of his mouth was a two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Oh, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." Three times Jesus tells him, "I'm the first and I'm the last. I just want you to know I started it and I'll end it." At least down here, because we'll live forever. "I'm the first and I'm the last." Three times. Verse 18. I look at this, one of my favorite verses. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. "And I have the keys to hell," or Hades, "and of death." Jesus is the only one in heaven or earth that can declare these things about himself. And he said, "I have the keys to both," in case you're wondering, "to death and hell." 19, "Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this." And then he explains to him a little bit. "Oh, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches," or the pastors, the messengers of those seven churches. "And the seven lampstands which you saw, those are the seven churches." Why did he use lampstands to describe the church? He saw, John sees Jesus standing in front of these seven lampstands, and he's walking in and among them. And I named those seven churches, the Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And he sees them in those churches. And why did they use the lampstand to describe? Because the church is to be a bright light in the community, a bright light in the world. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Amen. Okay, so that's established. I just wanted you to know that first before we go into chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3. And as I'm reading, I started reading in the New Testament, and it's taken me from January up until June to get into the book of Revelation. And so when I got here, I'm going through the seven churches, and I'm telling you, I begin to cry out. And I began to just cry, and I was so full of the blessing of the Lord, because I said, "Lord, I don't know. I believe that all the churches could probably fit in a few places in all of these churches. You know, but today it's being preached that this last day church is the Laodicean church." And when I read the Laodicean church, it's lukewarm. And God said, "I'll just spew you out of my mouth. I want you either hot or cold." And that's true for many. Maybe even some sit right here this morning. I don't know. I'm just saying, there's times where we can fit. And I felt the Lord directing me back to Philadelphia. And I read about the Sardis church. And I begin to see Landmark, and that night I'd had a dream, and I was up on a mountain, and I was looking down, and I saw a big square building. It was large enough. It was about the size of this building without all the offices on the side. And there it was, and right down toward the end was like the holiest of the holies, the holiest place. And I realized that it was his temple. And I was blessed to see that. And I'm still trying to feast on that, wondering why he would let me see that. And then he takes me, not to the Sardis church in chapter 3. But he began to deal with me about Landmark. And about you. And about me. And about why he set us here. Because we are a lampstand. But he began to minister that we are the Philadelphia church. And I want you to look at her. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, I'm right reading in Revelation 3, 7. And to the angel or the messenger or the pastor, that was a real church. Philadelphia was a real church in Asia. And I'm going to call my message today the Philadelphia Church, in case you look online and you want to read it again with me, because most of this is just going to be expository preaching today. That just means reading the Bible. Because it's so self-explanatory, it really doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. But I'm going to call it the Philadelphia Church in Porterville, or the Porterville Church. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia and Porterville, write, these things says he who is holy. Here he's talking about himself. He just wants to tell us what his character is like. All in written in red. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. You've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews, but they're not, but they lie. Indeed, I'll make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my commands to persevere. I love that word also. Someone say also. In other words, not only that, but I'll do this too. Verse 10. Because you've kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Tell him, John, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Now, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, you and I have two ears. I don't just mean these, but we do have a hearing ear, but we have a heart ear, a spirit ear. And he wants us to hear this word this morning, but also hear it in our hearts. Because when you are talking about something as glorious and full as the revelation of Jesus Christ, you must have a heart full of glory to be able to receive the power of it. So, Father, fill us full. I thank you, Lord, for pointing this out. I'm thanking you for every word of it. And, Lord, I'm going to endeavor just to read through this and maybe just give a little insight. But Lord, you keep me focused and you do the speaking, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Philadelphia was shaken by a horrible earthquake. And I mean, it just nearly leveled the whole city of Philadelphia. And these poor people had nothing. I mean, we've watched these horrible earthquakes hit Chile and Haiti and all these places. And it just shook them so bad. And listen, that happened in AD 17 AD. So Jesus was just a few, you know, he wasn't very old by that time. He's 15, 16, 17. Okay, so Jesus was on the earth, but in the days that this devastating earthquake hit Philadelphia. And I was thinking, see, the body of Christ, there's many in the spiritual Philadelphia church that have stood with our head up and our shoulders back, no matter what went on. And we were shaken. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And the only thing that will remain is the kingdom of God. And you and I live in that kingdom. That's where we live. We're a part of that. We are kingdom dwellers. We live in the kingdom and we talk out of the kingdom and we live and we move and we have our being in that kingdom. And so Philadelphia must have been so excited because we just read it back there in chapter 1 that when John, you know where John was? Most of you know this. When John got this revelation, he was on the Isle of Patmos all by himself on an island. Now later on he was boiled to death in oil. But as of right now, they captured him and put him out there all by himself. And he gets this revelation and he wrote it down. And God made sure that he got it to the right place to preserve it, to bring it not only to those people in Asia, but to us today. And all these generations, these words still ring true. He said, write it down, John. And he wrote it. And we read it today. So it must have been so encouraging to those people to find out that Jesus said, I've got my eye on you and I have seen you. I've watched you go through. In fact, I know all about you. And here, John wrote this. If you'll look back, if you've got a Bible that gives you little helps and details about the book that was written, you'll see, or you go into a commentary, that John wrote this. Some scholars say about 62 A.D., others say about 90 A.D., okay? So 40 to 60, 70 years later, after the earthquake came, they got this word from Jesus himself. And so it must have been pretty encouraging to them. And he said, John, I want you to tell him it's me. I'm the one who is holy. I am true. There is no lie in me. I only know the truth. And I have, listen to this, I have the key of David. Well, you and I just read, and I think Revelation 1:18, he said, I'm the one who lives. I was dead, and now I'm alive. And he said, I have the keys, with an S, I have the keys of death and hell. So none of that's going to happen unless I understand and know and approve, okay? But over here, he's telling John that I have the key of David. Well, when you think about the key that David had, David was a young man, but when David was out in the field, he was out there with the sheep or out in the pasture with the sheep. When we read the book of Psalms, it looks to me like all David knew how to do was pray and sing praises. And he sung praises and he prayed and he kept the dirty sheep and he provided for the sheep and he moved them around. But David's key to a healthy, happy life, a spiritual life, had to be, and see, when you have praise and you have prayer, it gives you intimacy with God. So this key that David had brought him into another place with God that not many people knew existed. Now, I am so thankful that you and I have this book. We have the Bible. We have the writings of David. We have the writings of John. We have the writings of Paul. We have all the writings. They didn't have any of it. But Jesus said, tell him I've got that key of David. And I don't know what Philadelphia knew about that key. But I believe down to the times, everybody knew about King David. And they knew he was a prayer warrior. I mean, it just really goes beyond using the word warrior. He was a king of prayer. He was a king of praise and worship. And when we come into that place and we take that key of David, because Jesus said, I have that key and I give it to you, Philadelphia. Here, take the keys. I've got the key to David. So you go ahead, the key of David. So you go ahead and you praise your way through it and you pray your way through it and you'll have intimacy with me, who is true, who is holy, and what else? And I open and no one shuts, and I shut and no one opens. Now, that place, he didn't mention a door. He said, I have the key. I have the key of David. And I open and I shut and I shut and I open. That's all he said. But when you think you have a key and you shut something and you open something, you pretty much think you're talking about a door. And so now these people have to understand that, look, man, we have nothing down here. Everything we had was shaken and torn apart. We had some beautiful things, but my family's tore up. Marriages tore up. The finances, the business. A lot of things were wrecked. But he said, no, I open. And what I have opened, no man shuts. And what is shut, no one opens. Now, let me tell you, there were some things open to us on the day of Pentecost that wasn't open to the Old Testament saints. He opened salvation to us. He opened the glory of his presence. He opened grace. He opened mercy. He opened blessings beyond measures. We sang this day, he's never going to let us down. He said, I've opened these things to you, and no man can shut. He didn't say no man. And no one can shut it. What he has opened. All right, read on. Verse 8, he said, I know your works. What? Oh, yeah, he said, I've seen what you guys have done. He watches what we do during the week and every day, who you have blessed, how you've been faithful to him, how you've met with him and nobody else was around. It was just you and he. How that you have longed to be with him, how that you have treated your children, your spouse, church, the people on the outside, people that come in. He says, I see your works. And I've seen your works. And look at this. And I have set before you an open door. Now he's got a door. Now he mentions it. I set in front of you an open door and no one can shut it. Why? He said, because you have a little strength. You may not have much, he says to Philadelphia, but you got a little bit. You're worn out and you're tore up from the floor up. Your mind is messed up. You're tired of waiting. You don't know what's going to happen. But he said, I see your works. I've seen you. I've watched you, and you know what else? God knows our motives. He knows why we do what we do. And he said, I see that with you, and you can hear his love for them. And so I've opened a door before you, and no man could shut it. I believe this is a door to heaven that he says, in heaven I have a treasure. Remember the treasure he talks about in the book of Isaiah? I'll open to you the treasures of heaven. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There will not be room enough to receive it. And not only does that blessing mean material things and good things and blessings, but it also means closure. And he says, and I know how to bring closure to your life, to that addiction, to that shame, to whatever you're dealing with. I was so blessed Friday night. Maybe some of you saw it. How many saw the K-Love Awards on TV? Oh, my goodness, it was on TBN. But the K-Love Awards, I'm telling you, those young people got up there and got awards. And some of these songs, even we sung, I think, one this morning. But these young people were producing these songs. that are so full of the Spirit, and you know the glory of God was on them. It was on again last night, and I could hardly study. I'm like, okay, I got to turn this off and get back in my office. Luckily, I already had it, but I recorded it this time. And it was so blessed, and it was so good. And Chris, I'm thinking, I just want to get you and this team and get some of these praisers. I want you to come over into my den. Just come in here. Have Isaiah bring the piano. Bring the guitars. Let's just come in there and jam for the Lord like my dad and brothers used to do. They just used to sing. I just want us to get together and just jam for the Lord and let some of these songs come out. And I'm watching what God is doing with these young people, the church. I mean, this is the church, the body of Christ. And the songs they're turning out are so rich, and they're so full of faith and so full of glory. My God, this is killing me. I was enjoying that so much on Friday night. Man, it was like an hour and a half I got to sit with her. And they humbly received their awards. And he said, I've shut doors and I've opened a door before you. And church, I don't know what door he has opened before you, but he told me to tell you, because he has seen your works and he has seen us. He said, I've set an open door before you, but you need to get up in faith, because he has the key of David and that key belongs to him. But he said, I'm giving it to you. Matthew 18:19. What did he say? You have the keys to unlock. You have the keys to bind up. You have the key to loose. You can loose it or you can bind it. But the keys belong to you. Let's go on. For you have a little strength, and you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. That little strength. You say, Pastor, I don't have much left. Well, hold on. Hold it. Hold it. These people had just about lost it. They had that much. And he said, but I saw that, but you kept my word when you had that much strength. When you had that much strength. When you had that much strength. You hung on to my word anyway. Even when you got blessed and began to walk in wealth, you kept my word and you walked in my glory. It didn't change you one ounce. You just stayed holy before me. Because I've seen your works. And I opened a door before you when you got up and challenged yourself to walk into it. Don't sit down and be intimidated and inferior. I watched one of those men, Brother Chris, you sung, what do you call that group? My Kingdom? We the Kingdom. You sung their song about Holy Water, Holy Water. And so there's a young man and two of the leading guys, they have beards and they wear these little hats. And the one that's playing that guitar, and he's just like this. And so at the end of that song, the one playing the piano said, okay. And they all came up, took the mic, and they gave just a one-liner of their testimony. God delivered me from this. God delivered me from that, and I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved because he delivered me from that. And this one man with his hat on and his beard, he walked up. And he said, I'm still dealing with shame and I'm dealing with insecurity, but God is delivering me. What is there? An open door. And he was a scared man, I read. He didn't want to walk through that open door. He was afraid to get up there on the stage in front of everyone. It stretched him, but he got up and walked out. And God said, boy, I saw you had that much strength. But I blessed you and I opened a door before you and you weren't afraid to walk into it. You kept my word. And then look at this. You did not deny my name. And if you're sitting here this morning and you can say, Lord, I kept your word. I went through hard times that nobody knew about. Every one of us in this room have our own story. And one of those groups sung a song called There's Glory on My Story. Or He Puts His Glory on My Story. Something like that. And I'm telling you today, church, every one of us have been through many, many things. And if you made it through and you kept your faith in Him, you kept His word, you believed His word when you didn't even know if you could believe it, but you held it. In the toughest of times, in the darkness of times, you held on to his word and you didn't deny his name. God said to tell you, I saw that. I saw that you made it. And you held on where many others would have given up and taken off. But you held it. Oh, you had a little bit of strength. You didn't even know, just a little bit. But you kept my word. You didn't deny my name. Verse 9, look at this one. Indeed, I will make. Somebody say, I will make. I'll make what? He said, now I've just dealt with you, okay? I'm going to take care of you all. Because you've held me, you've held my word, you didn't deny my name. So I got you right here. In fact, in the first chapter, he says, I hold the lampstands and the stars in my hand. I hold the pastors and the churches and the people. I've got them all in my hand. Whew, that's so encouraging. Now, he says, but let me, I'm going to have to deal with some other folks. Verse 9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, or that means the assembly, those that gather with Satan. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan. They say they're Jews, or they say they're Christians, but they're not. Look at it. He said, they lie. They say they are, but they're not. They lie. Indeed, that means, oh, yeah. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and know that I have loved you. You say, they're not going to come worship my feet. No, not your feet, not my feet. They'll come into his presence and they'll worship. You are his presence. But they're not worshiping us. They will come. He said, they'll begin to come in. I'll make them see my love for you. They've been playing the part, saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew. But he said, they're not. See, God knows everything. He said, John, I want you to know, I know who's saved and who's not, and I know who's playing and who's not. I know who is superficial, and I know who's trying to be what. They're not even a wannabe. That's just a put on. So he said, I'm going to deal with them. But he knows you. He knows us, church. But let me tell you, he knows them too. A lot of them out there playing. Psalm 73, David said, oh God. He said, I got my eyes out there looking. The New Living Bible says, I was looking at those fat cats prospering when I've done everything I know to do to serve you and live righteously and holy before you. And it seems like they have everything. And he said, God, I was about ready to fall off the cliff from looking at them until I went in to the sanctuary. And when I got in there and saw their end, God, have mercy on them. Have mercy. And when I see this morning, he said, oh, I will. They're going to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. See, God says, I will confirm my love. They've mocked the church. We haven't produced everything they wanted to see. The Bible says in the book of Romans, they are waiting for the sons of man to produce. They want to see, is your God who you say he is? God says, they'll see. Don't worry. They will see, and they will see, and I will confirm my love for you. He said it right there in verse 9. Verse 10, he said, now let me go back to you for a minute. Talked about us, he talked about them. Now he says, but I want to talk to you. Because you've kept my command to persevere. You just plowed right on through. Because you kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which will come on the whole world to test those who dwell on earth. There's a testing coming. This isn't talking about the tribulation period. Not at all. No, that's a whole different story, okay? We may do that later on. But right now we're talking about the trial and the testing that'll come on the whole earth. We just saw one hit the whole world or the globe. But he said, now this one is different. This is going to be to try. Verse 11, Behold, I am coming quickly. Now look at this, the second line of verse 11. Hold fast what you have. If you got a little bit, he says, hold on to that. If you've got a lot, hold on to that. Your knowledge of the word, hold on to that. Your love for God, your faithfulness to God's house, you hold on to what you have. Look, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no man, that no one may take your crown. Why would he have said that if we couldn't lose our crown? Some teach today, oh no, you're under grace, you're secure, you're never going to lose your crown. No, he said, listen, you hold fast to what you've got just to make sure you don't lose your crown. Yeah, don't let anyone take it. Because I'm telling you, there's deception all over this earth today, people trying to take the crown. Okay, what was COVID? When they showed us through the microscope, it meant crown, and it looked like a crown. Don't let anyone have it. Verse 12, here's another promise. Still talking about us. You know why? Because he loves us so much. He is in love with us, folks. I mean, he really, really cares about us. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem. What is that name? Nobody knows. Jesus said, I don't know it right here, but he said, it's my Father's. I'll write the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Listen, I mean, that's pretty packed right there, isn't it? He's going to put the name of God on us, the name of the new Jerusalem, whatever that is, and the name, Jesus' name. He said, I'll have it all on you. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, church. So what are the four things he said we have? He said you have works, you have a little strength, you've kept my word, and you've not denied it. And therefore, because you persevered, I am going to take you up and make you a pillar in my house, and you will be full of strength, full of the Spirit, and I have put an open door in front of you, and that door will never be shut. Hallelujah. Stand with me today. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, just meditate these things, church. Just take this home with you and read it again. I'm sure I didn't even do a thumbnail sketch of the power of that word. But I'm so thankful for it. I'm thankful that he would give us Philadelphia. Father, thank you for your mighty word. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for the confidence you have in us. Lord, you believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. And Jesus, thank you for giving that word to John. So much more. And Lord, I praise you for a new day. A new day. Pull the lights down just a tad. Wonderful Jesus. Why don't you just all come down to the front and let's receive this word. Why don't you make a place to pray? If you want to kneel there at your seat or something, just make a place with Jesus for a few minutes. I feel like he's given us the key of David right now. They said, I've got the key of David. That's prayer and praise and a song. Listen, if you feel like you've lost the song in your heart, if you feel like you've lost that song in your heart, David had a song, just go ahead and sing something. Just go ahead. If you can sing Amazing Grace, well, just sing that in your heart. You say, I don't have a song. Well, put it back. Get it back. Only Jesus can give that song to you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've already told us that you've seen our works. You said, I've also seen your strength, and those that have a little bit of strength. In fact, the upper verses in chapter 3 said some of them had strength and it was ready to pass away. It was ready to die. No, we're not going to let that strength die that you have. No, if you feel like you're about ready to let that pass, don't let it go. Hold it. Come on, let's get a little activity. Lift your hands to Jesus. Come on, let's lift our hands to him right now. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh God, we praise You. My God, come Lord. Hallelujah. Could you just say thank You, Jesus, as you're taking your seats. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, we love You. We praise You. And we thank You. Hallelujah. 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 Keep the word close to You. For the Lord has made us strong in Him. Yes, Lord. He said, I'll keep you no matter what comes on the world. I'll keep you because you have persevered in the name of Jesus. Would you all stand with me if you can right now? Hallelujah. Lord, we love You. Thank You for visiting with us this morning. May we take this word, Lord, and those that heard it and read it, may they begin to read, as Alice Cobb said, through the book of Revelation, through the entire book, and receive the blessing of it. Read it out loud so you can both see it and hear it in the name of Jesus. Those of you that are in a difficult situation right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be your counsel. He is your counselor. He is your guide. And He'll tell you what to do about it. He'll show you and He will bring you through it. In the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you, turn His face towards you, and put His countenance upon you and give you peace and protection and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you guys. Have a little fellowship before you go. God bless you. See you tonight.